Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. So, thank you so much for being with us. I know that our lives are so busy, and maybe you are multitasking, you're getting breakfast ready, or you're driving somewhere. But whatever the case may be, know that I appreciate you. Today's devotion is Young Wolves. The young wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Isaiah 11:6. Don't we love that picture of heaven? Of all the mammals, North American gray wolves seem to have as much understanding of the needs of their young as any in the world. Their homes and their lifestyles revolve around raising their young. In late April or early May, the adults begin digging dens where their young will be born. The tunnel that leads to such a den may be as long as 12 feet. Small chambers to be used only for the pups are made off the tunnel. These have exits to brushy cover or under stones where the pups can look out at the world without being seen. How clever. When the young wolves are about a month and a half old, by which time they no longer sleep with their mother, the adults, usually 3 to 6 in a pack, lie in beds that are located about 50 yards from the den. In early July, when the pups begin to explore beyond the playground, the adults move them to their summer home. This is a simple 10-foot-long tunnel where the pack can hide and rest safely if the need should arise. In November, the wolves move to winter camps. All pups have reached adulthood by this time, and the pack sleeps out in the cold or on the bluffs of the tundra, where they will stay until the new litters come the next spring. Through the centuries, the wolf has had a bad reputation. In recent times, its character has been cleared. It has been discovered that it is not really the vicious animal it has been pictured, even though it does attack sheep and other domesticated animals. Because attacking sheep is part of its nature, there is going to be a tremendous difference in the nature of the wolf that is going to lie down with the lamb in the new earth. As our text tells us, and there is going to be a tremendous change in the nature of every person who gets there to see them together also. I get so much comfort out of knowing that God is the judge. He knows the imprint in our DNA from past generations. He knows the trauma we may have experienced as a child. And he's the judge. He loves us much more than we can even love ourselves. Isn't that wonderful? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to really look at what is best for our young people. And I pray for each listener. I pray for all of us as we navigate this world, that your peace will follow us. All this I pray in the holy name. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. And today we're going to talk about wolves, since our devotional was about wolves. There are so many cool things about wolves. I put 2 unit studies in my Pinterest site. You can go there and just use my call letters, MRGamblin2, and then go to the board called Windows on God's World. There's also an art idea there. There's some for younger kids and some things you can just print out. But I love this one. This one is taken or inspired by Rainbow Rainy Day Art from Rhythms of Play. And you take a sheet of watercolor paper, or you could use a large coffee filter, and you just scribble with watercolor markers. The washable markers are considered watercolor, and even the ones that aren't, that don't specifically say washable, still work. You just can't use permanent marker. And you scribble that with gray and blue and maybe a little bit of black. Not too much, because what you're going to do is you'll spray this, let the water just work its magic, don't move the paper around, and pretty soon all those colors will blend into a beautiful evening sky. And then you cut out your silhouette of a wolf, and there's some patterns there for you if you want to use. A trick is, when tracing on black paper, use like a white pencil, a white colored pencil, and then you can see where you've traced it. Sometimes I use a gold or bronze or silver colored marker to trace onto white. And then the cutting out is pretty intricate if you want it to look really professional. So, Mommy, you might have to cut out the little pieces. But as much as possible, we love to have our young people doing this work. So if you can find a silhouette or an outline of a wolf that is bigger strokes for little folks, right? So whatever you do, have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. It's going to be a great week, because probably one of the things I get asked about all the time are, what do I need? What supplies do I need? And of course, the first thing that many people go out is spend a ton of money on curriculum products such as workbooks and things like that. But really, you don't need to, because if you look at standards, and you can find them free, and you can find them on my Pinterest site too, and I'm going to soon have them on my website. I'm so excited about the progress. And if you're looking at the standard that you want your child to go toward, you don't need to spend a lot of money on curriculum. You could have a math series that you're going through, and a lot of times you can find that at a used bookstore or in Facebook Marketplace. Just Google, where can I find Saxon or Singapore math, whichever math one you want to do, and that will kind of set the course for math. So the other things that you're doing, like your language and your science, your Bible, your history, geography, can all become integrated. So you can buy like one unit at a time. Gather Round is a great multi-age place to get units. Or you can look on my Pinterest site. I put units there all the time. And you can say, okay, we're going to do a unit study on wolves. Since we talked about wolves today, let's say we're going to do a unit study on wolves. And from that, everything springs forth. Your academics, your writing reports, your research, all of that. So let's talk about the things you need academically to start homeschool. And this is ideal. You might not have everything right when you start, but you need lined paper. Wide ruled, I prefer, because I can use that across many grades. It's usually very inexpensive. I can pick it up. I've picked up stacks of it at even Salvation Army or Goodwill. And then you need a ream of simple white paper, the kind of paper that you would put in your copy machine. You need pencils and pens. And I personally like the pencils that are not mechanical, just because my students can really learn about shading, and they can put a lot of pressure into that pencil and it not break all the time, where mechanical pencils, if you're like me, the click, 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 and just watching that, I've had students just sit there so mesmerized, click, 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 watching the lead just come out, click, 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 click. And then of course it broke off. You had to throw that away and get another one, click, 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 click. So you hear the click, break all the time. So in my classroom, I actually do not allow mechanical pencils. They have to have a real solid pencil in their hand. Pens, I've fallen in love with gel pens. I mean, you can take a gel pen and make it look like something that came out of a printer. You can take a gel pen, and they have all these different colors, and hand a child a piece of graph paper, and they can make some beautiful designs. It's a great geometry connection and also a great history connection when you look at different designs and things that were in the past. For your academics, you may need markers. Maybe you're going to have the kids make up a game showing how they understand the content that they are learning and also how to, the game will help reinforce. So you might need some markers. Dry erase board, you need dry erase board and dry erase markers. Many schools couldn't afford a brand new board. Sometimes I would have boards given to me that were in deplorable conditions, and I've resurfaced for about $18. You can resurface a board. You just go on Amazon and order white board eraser, white board paint, and it really makes a nice surface. But I like just going to Lowe's and buying a sheet of white board and putting that up on my wall. And I've done that many, many schools. And now you have a big, beautiful surface where you can explain concepts, where you can have your older children working out math problems while you're working with the younger children, and you can just glance up and see their progress. And I have students tell me just even last week, why is it, Dr. Gamblin, that I understand the math when I do it on the board? And there's a lot of theories, but neuroscience tells us that if we connect hands-on, even if it's the simple hands-on of writing our problem on a board, we learn better. So this is part of your academics. And I know I've already run out of the time of the show, so I better stop here. I didn't even get to answer any parent questions, but this has been a parent question for some time. So I hope you'll stay tuned for the second half of the show. Well, we're going to be talking with Sally Greenleaf, and this is so fascinating. Has your amygdala ever been hijacked? Have you ever overreacted and wondered what is going on? Well, maybe from this interview with Sally, you'll have all of the answers. So please come back. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Sally Greenleaf, and her ministry has to do with root cleansing. And root cleansing has to do with what?
It has to do with the amygdala in our brains, which is right in front of the hippocampus. It's an almond-shaped part of our brain.
And why is...
One on each side.
Yeah, so why does that need to be clean?
Well, since we have sin in this world, all of our emotions, positive or negative, go into the amygdala. When we sleep, they're filed. And it's like a big file cabinet with titles. So there's no assessment, good or bad. Anything under fear is going to go under fear. And anything under happy, joy, whatever, would go under that. We have a similar experience. It's going to trigger that same original experience, whether it's positive or negative.
So you're saying even, like I know we say, the reason things are leveled at PG-13, for example, is because the brain doesn't discern between reality and fiction until about the age of 13. How does that impact the amygdala?
Well, the amygdala, I'm not really sure about that specifically. I know that it's not discerning whether it's true or not, per se, because we have an interpretation. We experience something, and we don't always know what to do with it. And because we do have an enemy in the world, we have that help, so to speak, that's giving us an interpretation. So I have a story for later that will give help to that.
You know, the idea that we are storing these things in the amygdala or in our brain in general, it connects for me like if I've had trauma.
Exactly.
And the senses surrounding that trauma, if I experience those same senses again, then I can essentially re-experience that same trauma.
That's true. And consciously, it may not come across as the same trauma, but you probably, many of the listeners probably have been talking to someone and all of a sudden the person overreacts to the thing that's happening. That overreaction is called an amygdala hijack, where the current situation somehow may not even be the individual that's caused it, but it's gonna go right back to that original experience with all the however many years that's been invested in that experience, you might say, that's unresolved. So the goal of using scriptures and coaching, my part, to help a person kind of open up and unravel some of these connections and to find out what the roots are so that we can go through the Word of God and have them cleansed by the blood of Jesus.
So when you talk about cleansing, that's part of the behavioral management or changing the cognitive way we think. Is there also some physical things like different types of foods or, you know, sunlight? Or are there other things that you would recommend in addition to this coaching that you do?
Well, all of these things will help us. My particular piece is specifically applying principles that I know of in scripture to the person, and as we're talking and they're describing things they're going with through, and then they relate to something comes to my mind maybe that connects it for them, or so we kind of work through, and then we can pray together. Of course, they take on their own and get scriptures. But ultimately, they go through the cleansing prayer, and Jesus is in the most holy place, so he is blotting out sin right now. And that way, we know from some writers that at the point in which, before the second coming, we will not be able to bring these things to our remembrance because they have already gone beforehand and been wiped out. So we may have... And just to give another thought here is that we may have the memory, but nothing associated with it that's negative. So it's not like we don't know who we are and we just, all of our memories are gone and we have amnesia, just to clarify. I may remember I had an experience that was bad with somebody, but I'm not going to remember them in a negative light because this is all forgiveness has taken place. And I'm not going to feel anything. No emotional reaction within me. So this complete peace on that topic.
That, you know, I've already, I as you're talking, I can think of, you know, personal experiences where I've gone through that. So your title, is it a life coach or?
Spiritual coaching.
Spiritual coaching. I should have written that down before the show started, but here at ASI, we kind of just go one right after the other.
Right, and there's a scripture, it's in Revelation 22:2. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so we're all made up of DNA from the many nations, and the leaves of the tree are really the Word of God, and we eat that Word of God, and that's what's going to heal us. So we have my logo is a tree, as you would look at it, above and below the ground. So the roots below the ground, and Jesus said we're known by the fruit. And so unfortunately, because of sin, we manifest after we're Christians. We still have a manifestation of those things that are below. And that's what my practice is trying to help people do, is to get rid of those roots that are not good, so that we only produce the fruit of the Spirit, because the other option is to have the deeds of the flesh.
Yes.
And those that commit those things will not see the kingdom of God. So we don't want that.
Yeah, and forgiveness ties in with this, because some of us, you know, can say, well, we can forgive them, but we're never going to forget. You know, we're never going to be as trusting of them again. And I'm hoping we have time where you could actually do a coach me. So let's say I come to you and I need some spiritual coaching. Where would we start?
Well, I guess we could start with what are some of the trigger points you find yourself in a day-by-day situation, a trigger thing that happens for you.
Okay, so let's say I have anxiety over what people think of me. Or, you know, like let's say I'm a people pleaser, and I know this, that I'm a people pleaser, but I would like to be less impacted by that. Would that be something that you would work with me on?
Yes, that would be something. We'd talk about your early life to see what might have happened then that could dovetail into that.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about my early life. I was the oldest of four children. My parents got a call from the Lord to go into church school teaching when I was 6 years old, and they said I got the call too, which I took very seriously and have taken it seriously all my life. But my mom, I was never allowed to be sad. I could only be happy. And if I ever expressed any negative emotions, it was treated pretty harshly in my young life. You know, like if I was sad, then my mom would say, I'm going to give you something to be sad about, which usually was a spanking. And so I grew up loving the Lord, but overly sensitive to, you know, trying to anticipate what other people needed, what they wanted of me, and totally negating any of my own emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So if I gave you that much of a background, would that be a good starting point?
Definitely, definitely.
So yes. What would be the first thing that you would do with me? Just would you continue asking more questions, or would you have scripture at that point to help me? Or,
well, I do try to flow with the Holy Spirit when I'm working with people as well, but and a lot of times I'll have a thought or an idea that comes from the Lord or at least potentially could be from Him, that I will suggest to the person, and they're like, that's it. And then they're like, you know, they can take it from there, because they can pray it through with themselves.
Okay,
but,
well, we're going to leave our listeners on a cliffhanger here, because tomorrow Sally Greenleaf's going to continue her spiritual coaching with me as an example of what spiritual coaching might look like, and we'll also learn some more about the amygdala and how we can cleanse it, how we can make our life less stressful, because really when we're hidden Christ, and if we have the peace that passes understanding, that's where we want to go. So with that being said, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.